going to quickly talk about today a little window of what he did in these 40 days. What do you think he did in his 40 days? Do you think he just relaxed and just had a mini break before he went to heaven? We're soon going to find out. Okay, if you just turn to your Bible, and we're going to read Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 to 11. So Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former account I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together and asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he looked up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you in heaven will so come in like manner you saw him go into heaven." That's the word of God. That must have been a pretty exciting moment, wasn't it? And today we're just going to just briefly talk about that now. Before I do, you may be familiar with this slide, those who came to Pilgrim Hall last October. Remember this slide? A few nods, good. Hope it hasn't gone in your recycled bin of your memory bank. Hope it's still in there. So the vision for this church, God has ordained, is to bring the good news of new life in Jesus to the community we serve and beyond. And to represent Jesus by being an ark and a refuge to the community we serve and beyond. And to make disciples who wholeheartedly serve Jesus through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to test you on that later on when you have your cups of tea. It's a simple vision, and we're called to be a church of impact. Okay? So, when Jesus was saying his farewells to his friends, his really close friends, in those 40 days, we read in the Bible that he met those disciples on a number of occasions. He could have spoken to them about all sorts of things. Who likes farewells? If you do, then you're kind of a niche person. No one really likes farewells. Because they're quite sad, aren't they? To say goodbye to someone, you may have friends who've come over or family from holiday, you see them, it's a wonderful time, and then there's always a few tears and a few upside down smiles when they go. Because it's sad. And during that time, you normally say you want to just get off your chest a few things, and Jesus could have shared anything to his disciples. But what he did was he reminded them about a few important things he wanted to just re-emphasize to his disciples before he went. And one of them was, go and make disciples. Of all men, of all nations, go and make disciples. Of all nations. And that, do you think that was just for those special few who knew Jesus in person? It was for us today as well. To go and tell the good news of Jesus Christ to the lost. And not just tell them and walk away, but make disciples. Fashion them into the image of God by teaching them Jesus' ways. And being bold like Paul to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that is what God has called us today, to make disciples of all nations, whether it's in Crawley, whether it's in Horsham, whether it's in Timbuktu, whether it's in New Zealand, wherever God leads us, God wants us to go and make disciples. And he kept re-emphasizing that to his disciples. He could have talked about anything, but sometimes as human beings, we need to just be given the bare basic message. And he repeated that key instructions, go and make disciples. So if Jesus said that to his disciples, and he could have said anything, we must sit up and listen. This is not just for a select few, it's for us all. When we're praying for this church, when we're praying for our families, God, equip me to make disciples today. Equip me to be a discipler of men and women and boys and girls. Pray for the children, they become disciples of God. It should affect our prayer life. It should affect our everyday ministry, making disciples. God has called the vision for this church for a reason, not just to be a nice placard, which I flash up on a screen every so often, but he wants us to live it. Amen? Make disciples. And if you look at the Gospels, they're all consistent with each other. If you look at the last chapter or two of the Gospels, you'll see it repeated time and time again. Go and make disciples. In Luke chapter 24, he said the same. Jesus says, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witness of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you endure the power on high. And you'll read the same in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. I am always with you. So discipling involves teaching. It can involve equipping. Sometimes it can involve rebuking, correcting, instructing. And the Word of God is our instruction manual. That should be in our hands every time we disciple people. Now, the disciples were quite consistent. They were quite curious people. And they heard this message, but sometimes they always did the yes, but what about this? And they were very good at asking questions to Jesus. And there's two accounts in the Bible where they go into, what about? And we'll read about that now. And what was Jesus' response? The disciples said to Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And later on, when Peter was with Jesus, he pointed to John and says, what about him? What's going to happen to him? What did Jesus say? He basically said, none of your business. In a nice sort of way. It's got nothing to do with you. It's my Father's business. Go and make disciples. And sometimes we can get into the fine, fine details of wanting to preempt God in everything. But Jesus, in the accounts, when he meets the disciples in the room on the mountain, he, through the Holy Spirit, he allowed the scriptures to become living to them. The penny dropped when Jesus rose from the dead. He started speaking to them. They started to grasp the resurrection, his death. And That's what we need, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, to reveal the Scriptures to us. We don't need to be second-guessing always what's happening in the world. And yes, the world is going a little bit upside down. You look at the Middle East. Pray for our leaders, church and children. Pray for your prime ministers and presidents, because they're making some pretty bold decisions at the moment. But I don't think we need to be second-guessing every news bulletin and saying, does that mean it's coming back tomorrow or next day? It's the Lord's business. Of course we need to discern the seasons and be ready, but God has given us a clear mandate. Go and make disciples and tell people the gospel. So that's what we should be doing. If someone says, well, what about him over here? She's going off and doing this. Who cares? If God's commissioned someone to do it, let's pray for them and go, let them, the Lord, do his will through them. God wants us. If he wanted us to know every intricate detail of what's going to happen, he would have told us. But he's left it in his Father's hands and given us a clear mandate. So next time you have a but what about question you're about to say to God, maybe turn it around and say, God, your will be done. Equip me to go and make a disciples of men and women, boys and girls. Now, what happened when Jesus went up into the clouds? What were the disciples doing? Anyone? Sorry, Beryl? They had their eyes gawped in the sky watching. And to be honest, I do not blame them one single bit. I do not blame them one single bit. If Jesus, my Saviour, my friend, were just suddenly went up into the sky without a jetpack or anything, just by his supernatural power, I'm sure there would have been a few mouths hitting the floor. All sorts of emotions. Where's he going? I want to be with him. And just like, am I believing what I'm seeing? They've seen so many mighty miracles, but that was pretty up there. But what I like about God, he's very gentle and sensitive with us, but sometimes he's quite practical and real with us at the same time. He rebuked his disciples when they're in the room. One of his first things he said to them was, you've got little faith. He wasn't, oh, I'm back, don't worry. He said, you've got lack of faith. So these guys are gulping with their mouths open. And what did he do? He sent two angels. He basically said, stop gulping. Didn't he? So, in verse 9 of chapter 1 of Acts, now when they had spoken these things, they watched, he was taken up and the cloud received him out of the sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? So they were spokesmen of God, and they could have come with all sorts of, oh, you're right. They just said, what are you staring up at heaven for? This same Jesus who was taken from you in heaven will come in like the same manner you saw go into heaven. And then they went off on their way as instructed. Sometimes we can be like that as Christians. We can be gazing within action. And we can do that in life, can't we, sometimes? But the Lord wants us to be working, mobile for him, to do his will and business. And of course, there's times, as his shepherd leads us to still waters, we can sit and rest. And that's important, to rest in the Lord's presence. But the Lord has called us, commissioned, to be co-labourers of him and to serve him and to go and make disciples. So the Lord may be saying to us today, go and make disciples. He may be reminding us, stop gawping and go and do my will. Now, what is exciting is the promise that just as he went up, he's going to come back again. Amen? So really, we're entitled not to gawp, but we're entitled to have one eye on the heavenly realm, because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Just like the parable of the talents. those men, the owner entrusted with the talents, they knew he was coming back one day. And the Lord Jesus is coming back one day to receive his bride. So, yes, we shouldn't be gawping, but at the same time, we shouldn't be having our head in the sand like an ostrich. We should be mindful that the Lord is coming back to receive his bride. So, boys, girls, and adults, one day we're going to be taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. Amen. What a day that would be. Amen? Yes. It doesn't mean we just sit there and you just relax for that moment to happen. We need to be out serving the Lord, whatever he's entrusted us to do, whether it's through worship, whether it's through spreading the gospel on the streets, whatever God has entrusted you personally to do for his ministry, do it, and do it for the glory of the Lord. Amen. So let's not be like the disciples, gazing in action. Let's be walking with action, with one eye ready to welcome the Lord back. Amen. And finally, what I like they did, we read it in Luke. After it had been received up, in verse 50 of Luke 24, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Although it must have been really sad to see Jesus in person go back to heaven, it must have missed him. They knew the promise was coming. And I'm going to be preaching on that next week about the promise of the Holy Spirit. But they continued their praise and worship daily. And that is a reminder to us, church, that praise and worship is not a 10:30, put it in the calendar thing that we do every once a week on a Sunday. Praise and worship should be forevermore on our lips, on our heart, to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He deserves it. Sometimes it may be a sacrifice when we're feeling a bit, I can't really be bothered today, I'm just tired and a bit weary. But that's for the moments when we can really get draw close to God, of offering sacrifices of praise and worship. And I encourage you to offer God the praise he deserves. And they were together. Fellowship is so important for the body of Christ. Satan wants you to be an island. He wants you to be away from the body of Christ, because that's when you're vulnerable. That's when sheep are at their most vulnerable in the field. When they wander off, find a hole in the fence, and off they go. That's why the sheep goes and finds them, because they are vulnerable from getting injured, getting drowning in the lake. The wolves, the predators come after them. But when they're in the sheepfold, nestled together in the pen and the protection of their shepherd, that is when you're safe. So don't let Satan trick and twist and tell you lies to say, skip a few weeks this week, chill out. Because it might seem good, but what happens is you drift, like driftwood, and you become vulnerable. And that's when Satan is licking his lips. So active fellowship is so important, church. Whether you fellowship here or elsewhere, it's so important to remain locked into the body of Christ. Amen. Now, next week, I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. And as the men prayed on Friday night, just some, the phrase kept coming to me. I was just praying with the guys, second wind. And I just sense sometimes as life, we can go through a bit of a dry patch as Christians. We can get a bit flat. And sometimes we need spiritual renewal and revigoration and refreshing of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think you can get baptized in the Holy Spirit twice. He resides in us, but we can go dry. And I believe next week we're going to have a time of just looking into the Holy Spirit and why it's so important, the Holy Spirit, the promise the Lord has given us to live in us. It's amazing. It's mind-boggling. We are temples of the living God. But we'll be opportunity to pray for one another next week for a refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Because the vision, we are vessels of the Lord. And the Lord's vision will come to pass. But we need to be fully invigorated not dry vessels. We need to be on fire for the Lord. So next week, just pray this week, God, how do I need to be refreshed? And we'll have a time of teaching the children in their classes and a time of praying and just leaning on the Lord next Sunday. So isn't it exciting? 40 days he remained on this earth. It wasn't a coincidence, it wasn't a fluke, it wasn't 39 or 41 days, it was 40 days for a reason. And at that moment when God knew his son had done the work, he called him home to the right-hand side of the throne. Amazing. And his promise came to pass, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you keep your promises. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you fulfilled every prophetic scripture in the Old Testament of your first coming, Lord Jesus. Father God, of your sacrifice, of your death and resurrection, Lord Jesus, for the forgiving of sins, to give a pathway to eternal life, to give us a pathway of hope, a future in your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God, that you went back to your throne just at the right moment, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the final reminders you gave your disciples, Lord Jesus, the mandate you clearly gave them and us today, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, not to be distracted, Lord Father God, of the vision you've given us, the mandate you've given each one of us, Lord. Father God, I pray that we will be willing and obedient and submitting and yielding vessels for your glory, Lord Jesus. That, Father God, men and women, boys and girls of this community and beyond will be touched by you through us, Lord Father God. That the lost will be found, the blind will be seen, the weak will become strong because of your gospel, your hope, your message, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray you equip each one of us, Lord, to do your mandate. Father, I thank you for the children, Lord, as they go back to school this week. I pray, Lord, that they will be bold witnesses to their friends about who you are, Lord, Father God. May their conversations be seasoned with salt in the school playgrounds, Lord, in the classrooms. May they be effective ambassadors for you, Lord Jesus. Although they're small in stature, Lord, I pray they will be mighty in the effectiveness of furthering and equipping your kingdom. And Lord, I pray for each one of us, Lord, as we go about our business this week, Lord, that we will be empowered fully by your Spirit. Father God, you will equip us in whatever endeavours you've commissioned, Lord, whatever endeavours, responsibilities you've entrusted us to do. I pray, Lord, we will fulfil them according to your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.